Welcome to another episode of The Human Way. I'm your host, Matt Havens, and today we're talking with Ryan Leek. Ryan is a speaker, executive coach, and author of the upcoming book, Chasing Failure, where he answers the question, what would you do if you knew you could not fail? It was a great conversation where we talked about those pre-calculated failures we have in our mind, how we be vulnerable and honest with ourselves, and how we try to live up to who we are 100% of the time. You're going to enjoy Ryan. Let's get started with the conversation. Mr. Ryan Leek, I am so excited to have you. Thanks for joining, buddy.
Man, I am so honored to be here, man. Looking forward to it.
You're too kind. You're too kind. But for those that don't know Ryan, we actually had a chance to meet earlier this year just through a mutual friend. Was really inspired by your message, by just your personality. And but the reason I reached out recently was because I saw that you are releasing your book. And the title is perfect. I mean, I know a little bit about the story, but I think the audience is going to love to hear. So the book is Chasing Failure, which is beautiful. So just tell us a little bit about you. Like, what's the inspiration behind that book and a little bit about who's Ryan?
Yeah. So I'm a speaker, author, executive coach, and my wife and I got engaged and married on the same day back in 2013. That video went viral. I had an opportunity to go on Good Morning America, the Today Show, and then the Queen Latifah Show. On the Queen Latifah Show, my wife surprised me by getting me connected with Kobe Bryant, which, you know, was a game changer and, like, you know, bucket list, of course.
Of course.
And then just getting ready to meet Kobe, was like, man, what are we going to do? Like, what are we going to talk about? And, you know, I played college ball. I never pursued the pros, but, man, I just thought, man, the only way me and Kobe are going to have an engaging conversation is if I'm at least trying to be in the league, G League, anything, you know. So I started getting back in shape and just, man, very quickly realized, like, this probably isn't going to go the way that I would hope it to go. And I pre-calculated failure and it's like, I'm not going to do it. And then I thought, man, I caught myself. It was one of those epiphany moments where I thought, how many times have I done that? How many times have I done math where it was like, that's not going to work. So I'm not even going to try. And I thought that's no way to live. And in fact, every single person that you and I look up to, admire, follow, have one thing in common, and that's failure. And so why would we run away from the thing that often made them who they are? And so man, I just said, man, I'm going to go for it. And had a pretty fun, engaging conversation. I had about 10 minutes with Kobe Bryant, and he just told me to do it and go for it. And so long story short, I reached out to the Phoenix Suns, and they gave me an opportunity of a lifetime to allow me to try out for the basketball team, and made a documentary about it. And, you know, over the last, you know, 4 to 5 years, I've traveled all over the country talking about failure and having some in-depth conversations around it. And it's amazing how many people just aren't willing to take risk. And I think what has happened over the last year, when we, COVID-19 did not ask for anyone's permission to change their life.
Very well said.
It did not like give us like this warning, like, hey, just so you know, even though we heard about it in China for like that December, I think there was truly some American arrogance, like, nah. Like, even if there's a scare, like, it's not going to be that bad. You know, I don't think anyone had the foresight to see the amount of masks that would be sold in the coming months, or the NBA shutting down, or the Olympics being canceled. Like, no one saw that coming. And so what we were all forced to do was to pivot and figure some things out. And part of that pivoting required taking some risk. And I can't tell you how many clients I have that's what I did all of 2020, was going, you no longer have the choice but to take a risk.
Exactly.
Like, it used to be, let me try and push people outside of their comfort zone. And then it was all of a sudden, this is everyone's zone. We're all here. And so, hey, this is an opportunity. People are going to give you more grace during this season than they have in the past. And so we just, yeah. So that's what the book is about. It's about pushing past some of our excuses and being willing to take risk, invest in ourselves, and do it in a way that isn't like, you know, when I say chasing failure, some people are like, you know, are you trying to fail on purpose? It's like, no, I'm willing to go for it. Even if I fail, I'm not afraid of that happening. And so there's a lot to be learned when we fail and take risk. And I think that's actually how we get better. It's just a matter of having a good game plan and going for it, doing the best that you possibly can.
I agree on so many different levels with almost everything you said there. And I like how you use the term to pre-calculated failure, like doing the math to see, oh, well, when and if I don't, then this is going to happen. So I'm curious from the standpoint of chasing failure and I kind of say using it to reject the fear that comes along with that feeling. Like, do you still try to find yourself like a plan B if it doesn't going to work? Or when you go into a situation, uncharted territory that you're trying to push yourself in, are you the type that tries to just blow past it with, hey, this is the plan, and we'll address plan B when it happens?
I'm not an all eggs in one basket guy. I believe in multiple streams of income. And not necessarily keeping your options open in the fact that you're not all in and present where you are. But I think, you know, you should be smart about how you fail. And that's what I talk about in the book. If you're going to fail, it should be for unforeseen circumstances. It should be because the market just took a turn you just didn't see coming. I got a friend who, he did so much homework for an investment property to turn into an Airbnb. Him and his wife renovated this place about, I don't know, 5 miles outside of Minneapolis. Well, what didn't he see coming? Mm-hmm. George Floyd.
Yeah.
Completely tanked his Airbnb business. They lost so much. And again, he did so much, but he literally had it booked all summer, all fall, and people canceled because they said it's just too dangerous. And for people that haven't been to Minneapolis in a while or ever, for that matter, now, I don't know that many people that are trying to get to Minneapolis, but I went to school there and I'm there a couple of times a month, and I love Minneapolis. But over the last year, with a lot of police officers have left the force. I stayed downtown Minneapolis. I maybe saw one police officer over the course of like 4 days. I mean, it was at one point it felt like Gotham City. So people stopped going to the city. People stopped working in the city and people were like moving. And even to this moment, people have been trying to move out of the city. And it's one of those things where it just tanked his business. He just didn't see it coming. And how could he have? So I encourage people, hey, you want to do as much math as you possibly can. You do the homework. And, you know, if it fails after that, well, okay. But you gave your best. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people actually fail because they don't give their best. They didn't do the homework. They didn't study the market. They didn't count the cost. And so part of my book helps people ask the right questions to be able to count the cost. And if you fail after that, well, then, hey, you failed after that. But don't fail because you weren't willing to put in the work or be disciplined enough to understand your craft and be good at it.
I think that's really important because, and I'm going to use the example of this past year, right? It was an unforeseen circumstance that so many people in so many industries were impacted by. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that had to adjust or pivot, whatever, you know, however you want to phrase it, to do something a little bit differently. And I have found it interesting, the different stories, because in some cases you've seen people in their business or their industry explode and do amazing. And it was because of the, whatever, the work and the drive that they put in to change and to adjust. And then there's others, and I'm victim of this myself at times, of saying that we're going to pivot and adjust, but you know, you ain't putting in enough work to really make it happen. And so then we'll blame the circumstance versus having the reality of, you know what, that was me. That was me. Right. I didn't change. I was afraid of if I was successful, what would happen? Right. That's another thing I think sometimes with failure we worry about.
Absolutely.
But so what are some other ways in which, so, you know, failing, if you push past and you fail for an unforeseen circumstance, what are some other ways that you see people push past failure in other ways?
Yeah. You know, I talk about this. I don't remember what chapter, it might be chapter one, actually. There's this researcher that actually wanted to study stress. And so the way she studied stress with her patients was she actually had her patients jump out of an airplane over and over again. So they jump out, hit the ground, get back in the plane and do it again. She found, obviously, on the first jump, the stress levels were through the roof. Mm-hmm. But what she found by jump number three was that the stress levels of her patients were on par with that of somebody that was simply running late to work. And so part of what I tell people to do is like, just keep doing it. Like, you may not, you know, hit gold on that first round, but, you know, you and I do public speaking, right? You know, how many events do you do a year?
Yeah, I'm in the 30 to 60 range.
Yeah, so 30. So, and again, what's the number one fear in America?
Like public speaking.
Yeah. Public speaking. Okay. So doing these events, getting in front of these people, there's this idea of like, well, you must not be nervous because you've done it for so long. It's like, well, somewhat. Like I've learned some tricks of the trade, but people ask me all the time, they're like, you get nervous? I'm like, I'm always nervous. they just keep introducing me. And
when they call your name, you gotta go. I mean,
you just gotta go. Dude, the other day I missed my cue. Oh my God. They had introduced me at the beginning of a service. And I didn't know that. They have never done that when I was there. Okay. So I've been there, you know, 20 times, you know, and lo and behold, man, they rolled this bumper video and they rolled out a TV that I typically teach with. And I was in the back standing like right in like this kind of dark corner. I'm like, why haven't they introduced me? Like, what's going on? And it was really like awkwardly quiet. And I just peek my head out there and I see this TV that's like already ready for me with my first slide. And I went, right, that's where I'm supposed to go. It's when people talk to me about my career now, speaking, writing, it's like, man, I just kept jumping out of the airplane.
Yeah.
I just kept jumping out of the airplane and I wouldn't even consider myself an expert skydiver. Mm-hmm. I just keep jumping and I just keep getting introduced. You know, I did four events yesterday. Okay. I was nervous for all four.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they kept saying, coming to the stage, it's Ryan Lee.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I guess I better get up there and let's just see how it goes. Dude, I bombed, capital B-O-M-B, like, dude, bombed at a conference last week. And most people just don't even, they might assume, you know, if you go on my Instagram, you see all these different like highlights, you know, that's like the best 60 seconds of the day. Okay. From like a 60 minute talk. Okay. It's like 45 of that was horrible. 15 was all right. I showed you the best 60, you know, don't fall for the highlight. Okay. Like, I'm just like, man, it just, there are just days. And for me, I've got to create brand new content every week.
Yeah.
So there's especially with the work that I'm doing in church and corporate, it's different because, you know, those are pretty refined talks. Even if I create a new one, it's pretty dialed in. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I had to speak on why do bad things happen to good people? Like, you need to have a pretty profound answer and people expect profound, you know. The next week I had to talk about like heaven. Who goes there? And it's like, man, these are very heavy subjects. This weekend I'm talking about, is God real? I mean, we're not talking just regular relationship, oh, you know, love your neighbor type messages. These are very deep, theological, need to be well studied messages. And so, man, it can be a very, very challenging thing. But at the end of the day, I just encourage people, on a very practical level. Engage in activities that intimidate you. Engage in activities that intimidate you. And the reason I tell people to do that is it's their part of just continuing to jump out of the airplane. Figure out ways to do things that intimidate you. For some people, that's working out. Like they just walk into a gym. It's just intimidating because you see the guy or the gal that's just yoked and you're just like, I'm not down. It's just like, yeah, just go.
Just go.
Just keep going. I had a friend that literally walked around a gym, did not exercise, but she went.
But you went. That's the step.
Hey, congratulations. You went to the gym. That's all you need to say. You can, the story's true. Did you go to the gym today? Yeah, I went to the gym today. Didn't touch a weight, but she went.
But
you
she know, went.
Might be wasting some money, but nevertheless, you went to the gym. And it's again, mentally, I think that helps people.
I think you're right too. And there's another guest I had on a previous episode where we talked about get comfortable being uncomfortable. Yeah. And just going through that repetition of trying those things. And I like your analogy of jumping out of the plane. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit, because if people don't know your background, you also have as a pastor, you speak every Sunday at multiple different churches, kind of on a rotation basis. And so you and I have talked about this offline, but I like your point about the sort of Instagram stories and some failures that may be bombs. Now I'm not going to go out and say that you bombed last week as bad as you might have, it yourself. Yeah. Right.
And I'm my biggest critic for sure.
Exactly. And I think sometimes that's the best quality that we can have, is to be our own critic. So that's totally fine. But, I always say that social media is the best parts versions of people. So you're right. Yeah. If you are putting out an hour or so of content every week and it's new and you had to write it that week and you had to learn it and practice it and deliver it in a way that's engaging, you're not gonna kill it for all 60 minutes every week. And that's okay. So what's that like? Because I think there's a lot of people that get stuck in ruts with either creating content or churning out business proposals, whatever it may, and they're having to do it every week or every month, and here you are every week pushing this stuff out. How do you sort of find that energy, or how do you navigate those sort of pressures to deliver every week?
You know, if I can figure that out, I'll come back on for part two on the podcast. Man, I don't know. You know, it's a really great question. I've been on this kick lately of being extremely vulnerable, extremely honest, and I'm not afraid to use the words I don't know. And I think so many of us that, especially that are leaders or feel like we have to be these thought leaders, that people expect us to be all knowing. We're not, you know, we just, man, this other, the other day, a friend asked me, he said, man, what should I be praying right now as it pertains to, you know, a lot of the division that we see in the country? And he goes, I mean, like, what are you praying every day in that regards? And in that moment, I felt tempted to say something that was just so profound. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm about to blow this guy's mind. But instead I said, I'm not praying every day for that. He's like, oh. I was like, yeah. And I said, I was tempted to lie to you because I thought it might make me look better, but I don't know. I think honesty makes us look better at the end of the day. Integrity makes us look better at the end of the day. Being human is more relatable. You know, there's this line in the book that I quote a friend of mine, and he said it so brilliantly. He said, we all admire perfection, but none of us can relate to it. Mm-hmm. We all admire perfection, but none of us can relate to it. And it's just one of those things where it's like, you know what? I'm not striving for perfection. I'm striving for impact, want to make a difference. And there are many moments where, I feel that pressure. And then there's other days where I just go, I'm human. Yep. We'll see how it goes. Now, if you and I were sitting, you know, in my office and, you know, we're watching one of my messages and we're critiquing it, of course, we're going to find things. the average person doesn't know that I forgot to tell a story because they didn't know.
They didn't write the story.
So the funny thing about my world is like sometimes I beat myself up over a talk or something that I wrote. And honestly, by the time I beat myself up over it, I've already done another event.
Yep.
You know, so I'm beating myself up over an event I did last night.
Yep.
Because the sound went out midway through the keynote. I'm like, oh my gosh, how in the world does this happen? And so they could barely hear me for the last half. And it was just like, what? And you know, we're still figuring out Zoom a year into it, you know, trying to master, you know, I'm still buying stuff, you know, lights and microphones and, you know, do you set it up with Ethernet? Okay, well, the new MacBook doesn't do Ethernet. So you got to get a converter, to all of this stuff. And so as much as I beat myself up for what happened last night, well, dude, I speak tomorrow.
Yeah.
You have
another opportunity and not just you. I mean, you have a platform that allows you to speak to a lot of people, but I would argue everybody has a platform every day to stop beating yourself up for what you said or did yesterday and move forward with today.
You got to move on, man. You got to get back after it. You know, if you're, it's another opportunity. I spoke to a high school yesterday and I said, for all you future authors, don't wait for the future to start writing.
Mm-hmm.
You just continue to write, and some days it'll go well and some days it won't.
Yeah.
But there'll be that one line that is just genius that you could just hang on for forever if you just keep going.
Well, but I do love the kind of points you make, and you know, for people who aren't in the industry that you and I are from a, you know, speaking profession, you're right. Yeah. Like you can beat yourself up over a 10 second period that you missed the story. You mm-hmm. messed up the punchline of a joke. Or you completely, like for me, there's been times where if I write something beforehand, I get done and I realize that I've missed an entire paragraph of the best words that I was going to, like you said, blow their minds with this resonating message. And I just, in the moment, I blanked, and I'll beat myself up over that. But to your point, nobody in the audience knew that I wrote that, that I missed something up. And hopefully that, you know, they've taken something else from the other 55 minutes or so that we've been together. So
for sure,
you're right. You kind of got to keep moving. Yeah. So one of the things I do kind of want to ask you a little bit with the work you do, because you know, you strike me as somebody who shows up as Ryan Leak everywhere you go. And maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's at least the impression you give me, right?
In 2019, 2020, I got there. I wasn't always that way.
Well, what changed? What was this epiphany that's like, I'm going to be me in all facets?
Full transparency, probably Brené Brown.
Okay. Well, good. That's a good inspiration.
At some point, I just had to kind of create my own lane and be willing to not get booked. I had to be willing to not be invited to certain circles. At one point, I had to be willing to live with the results of just being myself 100%. And so I just, you know, all the way from like, you know, even just thinking about this podcast, for example, thinking to myself, what should I wear? You know, it's like, you know, what should I wear? You know, and I'm just all about like full transparency, you know, like, dude, I got this new jacket, you know what I mean? Like I could have put this on, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh yeah, this is the, you know, you're just trying to think, but it's like, this is what I was wearing today.
Yeah. Well, same here. I was wearing my Dino shirt for Fridays, you know?
You know, it's like, and so it's you know, people often don't feel like, you know, it's like, who are you living for? you know, what are, and I was bouncing in and out of church world, business world, and felt this pull of like, well, be careful what you say. You don't want to offend people here. And, you know, and obviously we live in a very politically correct society, and, you know, that's a whole nother podcast. But ultimately I just, one day I just kind of woke up and just said, you know, I'm just going to be myself. You know, if, man, if I want to wear that jacket, man, I'll wear that jacket.
Yeah.
But,
well, and that's what I love, Ryan, is and I think a lot of people struggle with this. I know I've struggled with this for years when I was in the the corporate world. I felt myself trying to be somebody it wasn't fully me at work, because I was trying to probably put on this facade that, you know, I was in leadership, so I had to act a certain way. I had to dress a certain way. And it was, I don't know, it was probably 5 or 6 years ago or so. When I still had that career, that I don't have an epiphany. It wasn't a moment. It might've been having like children and just being like, I don't have the energy to be somebody else anymore.
Facts.
I'm just gonna be me.
Facts.
And I'll tell you what, it absolutely, in my opinion, changed my leadership. It changed my relationships. It changed it. I think it opened the door for this career, because I'm just gonna be me. And if you don't like that I wear t-shirts on Friday to the office, then, you know, I guess you're just not gonna like me. And if that's the reason you don't, then that says more about you than it does about me. But absolutely. But I think a lot of people get caught in that. And what I love about you is like you said, you've got a church side of you. You got a business on that side as well. And you've got the business world. And traditionally speaking, those are things like in the business world, well, hey, you don't bring up religion. Don't talk about that or politics or can't speak about certain things. And what I'm really impressed about you is, you know, the ability to be who you are in both cases, and maybe the message is the same on both, but said differently, but it's still you. And I'm just curious if there's any other ideas or tips or for how you do that, or how does that balance look for you between the sort of the balance of a faith business and then a I don't know traditional business isn't the right word, but the business world and the faith world, like how you balance that.
You know, I've not arrived on it. You know, I have where it is today. I spend about 60% of my time in corporate America and 40% of my time in church in terms of my work time. And, you know, it's all under the same umbrella of adding value to people. Mm-hmm. And I can do that pretty well with the Bible. I can also do that without the Bible. And so I it's the same Ryan. It's just going, hey, what content do we want to pull on, for this engagement? I speak at some pretty large churches. I'd say 98% of the clients in corporate engagements that I've gotten, have come as a result of someone hearing me speak in church.
Okay.
And so, there's no hiding. I'm not there like pretending that I don't speak in churches.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's what I love.
And for the longest time, there was that pressure to do so.
Like have a Ryan Leak church website and a Ryan Leak business website. You know,
there is this weird dichotomy that I had to, but you know what, man, I can't tell you how many people that just need a human to show up at their job. And most of them work for robots.
Yep.
And there's the company line, there's company language. And sometimes I think they just need someone to come alongside them that isn't stuck, that isn't trapped, imprisoned by the corporate red tape.
Yep.
And so I love coming alongside leaders and some of them have said, man, can you help me out spiritually? And I'm happy to do that. A lot of them are just like, can you help me out practically? I'm just like, That's no way to treat an employee.
Yeah.
Period. I don't need a verse to tell you that. I could prove that without the verse.
Yeah.
Now, when a person is a Christian, I'm just going, well, come on, get it together, bro.
Yeah.
You know, it's like here's some things that scripture teaches, but even the things that scripture doesn't teach, it's like, there's some things I've learned that common sense isn't all that common. If it was, more people would do it. And yep. So it's one of those things where I felt like I had to balance it for a very, very long time. Again, full transparency. I lost the biggest contract ever because they quote unquote found out I was a pastor. And so at first that like really hurt me in the sense of like, oh no, I've got to hide mm-hmm. who I am. And the funny thing is I'm technically not a pastor. I just speak at churches all the time, which is really weird for people because they're like, dude, we see you speak like every week. What do you mean you're not a pastor? It's just like, well, you do have to be licensed to do that. People just keep giving me a microphone and it's not my fault. Okay. Yeah. So they just keep giving me a microphone because they think it goes well, but technically I'm not a pastor. But again, that's semantics. I wasn't going to try and like, you know, fight this. Like once someone's got something in their mind about you, it's really hard to kind of change it. And so it made me hesitant at first, but you know what? I just kept going. I just continued to be myself. And I sleep really well at night knowing that I do my business with integrity and the fact that I show up and I'm as present as I possibly can be with the clients that I have and for the companies that have been so gracious to invite me to come speak at their company. It's like, man, what an opportunity. My book, Chasing Failure, isn't a Christian book. It's a business book.
Yep.
And so people know, and it's usually the number, it's the frequently asked question is, hey, we saw video of you at church, but like, is that what can we expect? Because it's so funny. I write brand new content every single week and put it on the internet for free. In corporate America, they're like, do we have permission to film you today? Yeah. It's like, and so, but you can't find a whole lot of my business talks online. You can find hundreds of sermons. And so people are always kind of, you know, navigating, okay, what are we going to get when we get Ryan? Which is just like, call me, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
And the number one question I ask every client is, what are your employees dealing with right now? And most of the time, it's usually people issues.
It is, yeah, absolutely.
Most of the time, there's often burnout. Man, people need some inspiration every now and then, and to, you know, a shot in the arm, and I try to do it for them. So.
Well, I think you're right, because it is a lot of people issues. It's you're right. There's a tremendous amount, what feels like a tremendous amount of division right now. But I think that if we continue to look at each other more as individuals, as humans, as each other, as who they are, that certainly, you know, puts our guard down a little bit. And then, you know, for you with the work of balancing kind of, you know, a lot of different things. You're an author. You have your own podcast. You have your speaking business. You have your church business. You have so many balls up in the air, but at the end of the day, you keep jumping out of that plane. And I think more and more people need to continue to take that advice and keep going, because it's obviously worked very well for you.
Yeah.
So tell everybody real quick, we'll wrap up here in a little bit, but just tell everybody, when does the book come out? Where can they find you?
Absolutely. June 22nd is when the book is released. You can pre-order or order a copy, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. You can get that on Amazon, wherever books are sold. I was told by my publisher that Target has purchased, I think, 5,500 of them. So go to your local Target.
There we go.
You get it there. Books a Million. I mean, wherever books are sold, they can get it. I'm recording an audiobook apparently at some point, so you can get it on Audible. I'm speaking to the future, but you know, but by June 22nd, by the time you're listening to this, that will be done.
So, I love it, man. Well, Ryan, thank you so much. I appreciate you joining. To everybody who's listening, let me know in the comments, send me a note what you took from this. I know for me, it's to get out of those pre-calculated failures. It's okay to do the math, but I don't think we need to find the solution in those. And I love just living with the results of being yourself 100%. Those are two of the lessons I'm going to take from you, Ryan. And, I appreciate you for joining us here today.
Sounds great.
All right, man. You guys have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you on the next episode.